Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
It's a Monday here on Danny and Dusty is going Bills, not Commanders. He's just out for a day, not completely knocked out. Will Ortner in for Dusty. Will, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm laughing right now.
There you go. I'm laughing at Jeff Russ behind the glass, as always. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful Monday. Wonderful Monday. We have no shortage of things to dive into. Gentlemen, how were your weekends?
It was pretty good, man. It was nice, sunny. I mean, it was cold, but I like it when it's like kind of brisk. You know, crisp air. You can still get out and do something. You can still go out and have fun.
Like cut a little glass.
Yeah, I don't like it when it's super rainy. I can't do anything. I can just sit inside all day. I can actually go outside and enjoy the weather. It's just a little cold. Put on a coat.
Did you go outside and do things on a football weekend?
Not on Sunday.
Okay.
Well, on Sunday, I came in here. I hung out with Joe and Rashad.
Oh, there you go.
I did do something on Sunday. Saturday, I was stuck inside most of the day. I was helping out with the wrestling thing.
So where is this outside you speak of?
Well, like I had to walk from my apartment to my car, and then I had to drive, and then I had to walk from my car into a school, then I had to drive back here helping out doing a Pilots game. So there was some time where I walked out. I wish I could have enjoyed more of it.
Oh, okay.
You ever walk on like one of the riverfronts, like either like Columbia or Willamette?
Yeah, in the summer when it's warm.
Just throw on a coat. You're fine. Throw on a beanie too.
No, I'm good. I don't want any of those things.
Why not? Because it feels good. It's nice. You're out moving around. You're having a good time.
No, I don't. I don't want those things.
He's trying to get me back on the camera.
Oh, okay.
The one camera doesn't have me on the YouTube, and that's why I was laughing, because it looked like you were talking to yourself.
I mean, it's not.
It was really funny. You're like, Will Ortner's here, and there was no camera on me, and it made me laugh really hard.
No, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. I love it.
We could have had a Will Ortner like cutout, and it would have been like you talking to yourself. I don't know why.
I do appreciate that
laugh.
It's frozen on me right now.
Well, I think he had to do some things to shut off to possibly get me back on the camera, because now the camera's restarted. Now the camera's back.
Okay,
or at least trying to face me. But it would be objectively funny if you thought you were having a conversation with me and it was just a chair.
Well, to be clear, it would not be the first nor the last time that I've talked to myself. Now, it'd be a little bit weird if I was doing like a call and answer with myself.
Like you kept changing your voice. You're like, Will, what do you think about this? Well, Danny, I think this is about to happen.
Ooh, hey, I think we're up. We're on.
We're back?
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. Yeah. It's simple things.
Yeah. With the old thing of unplug it and plug it back in.
Hey, dude, if that works for Nintendo, I mean, it should work for the cameras in here. You just got to unplug it, blow on it a little, and it'll work.
I mean, blowing on a little bit solves a lot of problems.
Every single time that I needed a game to work, I just blew on it a little bit. It worked out well for me.
That's once I've been out of pocket, not even 5 minutes of the show.
Happy Monday!
Sons of guns.
Mommy, what you talking about? Nothing.
Nothing.
Mind your business.
Blowing in a Nintendo cartridge.
Like I wore a short-sleeved shirt for a reason. I better be on camera today.
We were
almost matched.
Yeah, almost.
No, I had that color of shirt on
today.
Oh,
did you?
Yeah. It's one of those shirts.
One of your four shirts?
No, I have nine. It works out well for me, and I can wear that shirt when I'm like 2:30. But after I've had dinner at mom and dad's house and I'm 2:38, yeah, 2:37, 2:38,
a little snugger.
I gotta wear the other shirt. It's right on the borderline. It's been worn one too many times, so it's a little too small. which is perfect.
It's washed down a little bit.
Yeah, well, because these, I've been buying, I don't want to say the name of the brand, but you know when you're on Instagram and you get the Instagram ad as you're scrolling through the reels where it's like, are you kind of fat and have a belly?
But is this the perfect tease?
Yes, okay. It's tight around your arms, but not around your waist. Mm. That's exactly what it is. Well, sometimes it is tight around your waist.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of have to wait. And that's a Friday shirt for me. I can wear it on Friday. I can't wear it on Monday because Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the diet gets a little bit off the rails at
sideways.
Times. Yeah, sometimes you have a beer or four or 10. And then sometimes you have some chicken wings or four or five or 10.
That'll happen.
And then you can't
wear
that shirt.
I went down that death spiral, not this last week, week before.
Mm.
I had... B-dubs.
Yeah.
And I don't, look, B-dubs kept me going when I was in the Air Force. It was like the only way I could watch West Coast sports living on the East Coast or living in the Midwest.
Oh, just because they'd stay open late enough?
Well, no.
And they'd have the games.
They would have like the cable pack. Yeah. You remember, I'm old. You had to have like the very specific like national broadcast packages where you could get Raider games and Blazers games and USC. Like it just, you know. It was hard to watch games, and it was very, very, very dumb that I had to. I was an airman in the Air Force. I don't know if you know this. We don't make much money. I think
I've been told that. Yeah,
you know what?
You don't get rich in the military, is what I've been told.
You know, let me take a look here. See what it's at, because we can kind of scale this.
No, you don't get rich in the military. You get rich as a military contractor.
You're right.
You're not wrong. So. This is going to be a total derailment in a split second. The exact same job that I did in the Air Force. I had one supervisor who got his separation date on a Friday, came back to work on Monday, doing the exact same job as a contractor. His pay went up four times.
What?
Four times.
Why didn't you just do that?
Because I had to wait. Well, I...
Oh, because you're like military contract?
Well, yeah, so I was, I was still enlisted at that point in time.
Yeah, okay.
Is that kind of like saying, why don't you just call the touchdown play?
Hey, I'm learning things over
here,
okay?
A little bit of that.
I'm discovering what the job market is. I'm learning about the economy.
I'm trying to zoom in here. So your military pay right now, when you first go in day one, if you're like straight out of high school, no college credits, E1, which, oof, that's rough, you're making $1,949 a month. Or, $1,949 a month.
How do you afford anything?
Welcome to the military. Again,
hold on.
Now, that goes up.
Wait a minute.
That's your first 4 months. It goes up to 2,100. And by the time you make E3, which you usually, most people are like, I pinned on E3 like literally in basic training. Like,
okay.
I got out and I was at E3 because I had college credits because of high school, blah, blah, blah. And because they were desperate and they're like, hey, we'll give you E3 after, was it 6 weeks or 8 weeks, something like that.
Okay.
And then they gave me a massive signing bonus,
okay,
which is part of the reason I ended up going doing what I did. But like even at your like peak, is the name peak? Like if you're talking like somebody who is, if you're an NCO, non-commissioned officer, like if you're an E5 and you've been in for like 8 to 10 years, you're making $4,000 a month.
That's not terrible,
brother. That is $45,000 to $48,000 a year.
You're also talking to a 27-year-old who would love $4,000 a month.
Okay, you're talking. That's
yes.
You're talking about a 28 to 30-year-old who is in charge of people in the
military. Oh, then I disagree. I disagree. I'm just saying you started throwing numbers around, and I heard the number, and I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with that number.
Again, you're talking about somebody who's been in for 8 to 10 years.
Okay, then disagree. I disagree. You know what?
You made up. Nothing. And it was like, well, you get great
hand up. Want me telling y'all what to do in there? Yeah.
hand up. I'm looking at the camera that's back on me now. Thank you, Jeff Rust. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I apologize.
So everybody's like, well, you get these great benefits. Ah, yes. We've definitely never seen anything scandalous about the military benefits, right? And how great they are.
Yeah, the VA is not awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you're out. So that's Veterans Affairs afterwards. When you're in... So here's a little thing. When Dusty and I were in Washington, D.C., I was talking to this woman who, sweet as could be, I can't remember what charity group she works for now. I wish I could. But she asked me if I had military service. I was like, yeah, and kind of went back and forth. And I told her, you know, she's like, well, where are you stationed at? And I mentioned one duty station. She was like, when were you there? And I was like, you know, this point in time. And she was like, oh, I missed you by months. And it turned out she was literally like a wing commander, which is a full bird colonel or one star general.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay. I was like, oh my God, like you would have been like my boss boss. But like we were talking about the, she worked in the medical field at the time. And the reason she's doing all of this charity work is because how bad our medical care is in the military. We have a thing called vitamin M, which vitamin M is Motrin, and they will give you 1200 milligram Motrin, like these giant horse pills for basically everything. You've got pneumonia, Motrin, broken arm, Motrin, some like STD, Motrin, like it.
That's just ibuprofen.
Brother, like,
I'm not opposed to taking like 4 or 5 ibuprofen at home when I need to.
I'm not kidding. They give you this.
That's a good 1,000 milligrams.
They give you these 1,200 milligram horse pills for everything. And it was like.
Sounds like they found the magic cure-all. That's what I'm hearing.
No, the magic cure-all was when I was in, and when I had my wisdom teeth out, all four of mine were impacted. I still don't remember most of this. I just remember signing for the paperwork. I had my roommate who drove me to and back from my appointment, signed me on a base, helped me sign out for the medication. They gave me, you know, those short, fat, like wide pill bottles.
Yeah, yeah.
The super big ones, like a energy drink.
Yeah.
Okay. They gave me one of those full of Percocet. Full of Percocet. Full.
That seems
it's like 120 Percocet.
That seems like an issue. That seems, you know what? Again, that's a problem.
Yeah. So,
not a scientist, not a doctor.
So again, this is all like getting off the tangent of Buffalo Wild Wings.
So the best places to get, you know, uncontrolled, basically prescription drugs are military 100%. Or an NFL sideline.
100%. Which similar reasons. Like, here you go, buddy. We need you back out there.
Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah.
Get out there.
This dirt just has a lot of opium.
So you're telling me that the, take away the drugs, but the philosophy of the military is similar to my little league coaches when I got hit with a baseball pitch. Just rub some dirt on it and get back out there.
Yes, pretty much. I say all this to get back to B-dubs, my glorious place. I was like, man, you know what? I'm really craving some wings. And my fat butt was like, you know what? I'm gonna see what we got here. And I swear to God, it was like the devil emailed me. Here's your playoff wings package. I'm not kidding. Within 3 minutes of me going to their menu, it arrived. It was like, you can get 20 wings for $15. And I was like, for me?
Like, this is great.
Can I say, there was a couple of weeks ago where I went and I found myself alone for the evening. And I went to go, I was like, you know what? Some Buffalo Wild Wings sounds good.
Mm-hmm. So is it when you're alone that's when it sounds good?
So one of the old
you
app,
make bad choices.
I went on the old app and found they had the thing on there, the special for like 10 boneless wings and like a side of fries and a soda, right?
Yeah.
And then right underneath that, they had the same thing. It was 20 boneless wings and like 2 large fries and a soda. It was less money than the 10 wings one.
Yup.
Like by like $1.50.
You're like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to take this.
I guess I'm
going to
have to eat 20 wings. Well, I mean, boneless, nuggets, whatever, what have you. Great. I'm an 8-year-old.
I do the same.
Yeah. But it's like, why is it the 21 is literally less money than the 10 boneless wing?
It's a deal that you can't pass up.
It was like $18.59 versus like $16.99.
Also, I'm still very frustrated that the price of wings is still astronomical. Just it's a terrible place to be.
Well, I mean, I don't know, 20 boneless wings and fries and a soda for under $17.
No, I'm thinking back to the glory days of prime B-dubs when it was literally. They had the 10-cent wing days.
Oh yeah, like that. I remember those days well.
Whoa, was it Thursday? I think it was Thursday.
The Tuesdays or Thursdays. Yeah. I was also
one
notorious.
Was the bone in day.
Yeah, one
and the
yeah.
other was
boneless. Tuesday was bone in. Thursday was boneless. Something like that. That's
and
what it was.
I was notorious, like for rolling into a Buffalo Wild Wings at 9 a.m. when the March Madness tournament would start.
Oh yeah, just
and I would park it and I would be there all day long.
Keep
and
them
when
coming.
I'm like 9 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night.
Well, you had to get there early then, though, right. too, because it would pack that place well, out during March Madness.
And again, this is pre-21, so and didn't have a fake, so I wasn't able to like buy alcohol. So I would sit there drinking the raspberry like lemonades, like I'm so healthy. Look at me, I'm not drinking soda. Little do I know that there's more sugar in that than there is in soda. And it would just be like, yeah, I'll take 8 boneless wings, and then. You know, the first round of games would end and be like, I'll take another 8 and I'll take another 8. And then it's like, how'd you spend $120 at Buffalo Wild Wings? Well, I had to get some wings and I had to get drinks. And yeah. then I'd do it again on Friday.
That's a lot of chicken, which means it's a lot of protein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I see it.
It does the body good.
I'll tell you right now, I found a very old, a very fat photo of me the other day. And I know exactly where those wings went.
Right to your ass.
Well, no, it went right to my belly. It's a bad photo. I've got my shirt is off. I have body paint on at a Central Washington volleyball game, and I didn't have pockets.
Oh, that does sound like a poor choice.
So you're sticking wings in your waistband?
No. So I have my phone in my waistband, and in the photo you can see the belly roll over the phone.
Perfect.
Oh, also, I have a torn foot, so my toes are out, too.
Oh, there you go.
I'm in a boot. It's one of the worst photos of me of all time. Shirtless, hat on still.
Smart man.
So you could tell I'm balding.
All right, well, it's a lot of Buffalo Wing talk, so it's a nice, easy transition from the Buffalo Wings to the Buffalo Bills and coming up short against the Kansas City Chiefs. The inevitability of the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, where we start today's show here on Danny and Dusty, Tonight the Fan.
Run from it, shred it. It comes all the same.
The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Buffalo Bills yet again, 32-29. Patrick Mahomes and the inevitability of that just tomahawking monster finds a way. And I don't even know where to even start with this because there wasn't some glorious performance from either side. It was just a very tight, well-played game. I think
there was one really good performance.
Who's that?
I think Cook's performance. I think James Cook and Buffalo making the decision to go more towards the run game and finding ways to get him touches. Now, remember, he averaged in this game 8 yards a touch. He got them back into this football game. The running ability
and the
of
big time
Cook,
play for
right.
sure.
And Josh Allen made 2 incredible throws. I mean, the touchdown to Mac Hollins. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect throw. It's an even better catch. Josh Allen did well. He had moments of greatness. But I really do feel like if they don't go back to the run game against Kansas City, they don't get it back to being a close game where they had multiple opportunities not only to take, tie up the game, but take the lead. So I would say Cook was great. Everyone else, I agree with.
I think we just kind of come to expect this from this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think everybody did what they're kind of supposed to do in a sense. And Cook and the Bills in general had been incredibly successful running the ball coming into this game. That was kind of the pivot that they've made. I believe they had we talked about it on Friday. I want to say they were like a 48% success rate on runs, which is bonkers good.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I don't think of the Bills as this great rushing team. You think of that with the Eagles,
yes,
but you don't think about it with the Bills. But if you have a success rate that's consistently piling up at like near 50%. That means you're ahead of the chains and you're ahead of the game pretty much half, more than half the time.
Right.
That's pretty damn good. There's a couple singular plays there. We'll talk about the third and fourth down, but I think the first big one is obviously the Xavier Worthy play.
Yeah.
The watching that play live, so I was at the Blazers game, had the laptop open in front of me.
Had to.
Look, it's... Where do you land on that play?
Is it the interception or the catch?
The catch, yeah. Is it a catch to begin with?
To me, so it's a catch, and here's why it's a catch, and I get why Buffalo Bills fans are upset about it. Just the same way with the Fail Mary, I think a lot of Packers fans are still upset about Golden Tate's catch, right?
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that whenever there is a tie, it's always going to go to the offensive player. Right. And in that situation, it's a great play by the Bills safety on coming up and trying to make the interception. But he doesn't have full control of the ball. And while he's trying to gain control of the ball, that allows Worthy to get his arms inside and get his hands on the ball. So then they both simultaneously come down with it. Now, the football does touch the ground, but at no point when that ball touches the ground does it move. And we've learned over the last couple of years, when the ball touches the ground, if it doesn't move, they're going to say it's a catch. Then, when you have a defensive player who has one arm on the ball, and you have an offensive player that has one arm on the ball, that call is always going to go to the offensive player. And once that call has been made, they're not going to overturn it with a challenge. Now, I think that is one of the dumber challenges in the playoffs this year, if not the dumbest challenge from McDermott. Because even if he won that and it was an interception, everyone forgets Buffalo got called for a holding penalty.
It goes away. Yeah.
It goes away. You don't get the turnover. Kansas City gets the first down. So essentially, you challenge 20 yards,
which maybe it turns into a field goal.
Maybe. Best case scenario. But it still doesn't seem like a challenge-worthy play to me. 20 yards isn't worth a challenge in that type of a game.
No, and I guess I should probably go back here a little bit first before this, because before that play, this game starts out and Buffalo goes 3 and out and doesn't even take a minute off the clock.
No, and Josh Allen looked bad.
Yeah.
He had 2 bad throws.
And that I think that was the only time I think he looked bad.
Yes.
All game.
I agree.
He was, what, 1 of 7 or 1 of 8 on pressured situations, but going back and watching the clips of when he was pressured, it wasn't like, oh, here's a little pressure in his face. It was like, Josh Allen, run for your life. Mm-hmm. Like, there's been a bunch of talk about how he didn't find Khalil Shakir on the orbit play out the left side. Like, yeah, there's no reason he would have been able to look that way because there's 3 people running at his face. He's not going to look across his body. Half the field's eliminated. He's looking to the right.
Right.
But, and again, we'll get to the Chiefs side of this, but the tone set, or the lack of tone set, by the Bills coming out of the game, I think was foreboding with how effective and monotonous the Chiefs just marched down the field. Mm-hmm. And they're like, here's 9 plays, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Deal with it.
The Buffalo defense struggled. The Buffalo defense, and again, I think it's every single time you look at these losses that Buffalo has against Kansas City, because Buffalo was actually fairly successful against Kansas City in the regular season. When you go and you look at the numbers, they're basically even. I think Kansas City might have one more win than Buffalo, but they're basically even. You look at the total points, Kansas City has 5 more points than Buffalo in all of their matchups where Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have been the
starting quarterbacks. It's a lot like Mike Tomlin and Harbaugh when they have met.
It's dead even.
Going into before the playoff game, I think the last going into the matchup in the regular season,
right,
their record was even and the points scored between them was even.
Yes.
It was like, oh, this has been like a dead heat.
Right. It's very even. They're very close games every single time. Josh Allen plays very well most of the time. Patrick Mahomes plays very well. So it comes down to key moments. But more importantly, I think that McDermott got out-coached again, and I think that Joe Brady got out-coached in this game. And it didn't happen the entire game, but it happened in key moments. The Kansas City Chiefs haven't scored 30 points all year until this game.
Oops.
And for the most part, aside from a couple drives, it felt like they had the correct play in the key third downs.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's 3rd and 9, and you need to get a first down to ice the game. You run a man beater, and you find the open running back out of the backfield, and he finds a way to get the first down. Yeah. You are running a man defense, but you don't have a spy on Patrick Mahomes, so he runs for a first down to keep the drive alive, right? When you needed a big key stop, Buffalo didn't get it because Kansas City had the better play called against them. And when
you do this in a game that Travis Kelce didn't factor into.
No, he was shut out pretty much completely. He got one catch, he dropped one ball, and then DeMar Hamlin, he was able to draw like a holding penalty against him.
That was on that play, yeah.
Essentially, the Chiefs, Buffalo shut down Travis Kelce.
And they said go somewhere else, and the Chiefs did.
And they did. Hollywood Brown had a very good game. Xavier Worthy finally took that next step that you were looking for. And there was a lot of disappointment this year around Worthy, and I think that Mitchell Schwartz said it best. You are hoping for Worthy to be your fourth option.
Yeah.
You are hoping for Hollywood Brown to come in and be your one or your two, Rashee Rice to be your one or your two, and then you're going to run the ball with Pacheco. So then, and Travis Kelce
is above all of this.
So then you have your fourth or fifth guy is this rookie speedster, and you're going to slowly build into him.
He's a gadget guy.
Well, because of all the injuries, now he has to be the one. And Seahawk fans, I think the best example of this is Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett comes in as your fourth or fifth option. Mm-hmm. He's a gadget guy who over time becomes your number one option eventually, right? And now he's gotten old, so he's not your number one option. But that's what they're trying to do with Worthy. Worthy had to take a step up before he was ready for it. But I think where you saw a lot of his issues early on in this season where, hey, you know, he's stopping his route when he needs to keep going. He's making the wrong read on an option route where he goes inside instead of going outside. In this game, in this moment, he was at his peak because he'd gone through and taken his lumps. And when you needed him to get open or to make the big catch or to make the big play, he did it, right, in this game. And then Kareem Hunt was running downhill. Patrick Mahomes was just Patrick Mahomes. But I feel like, and I know we're going to dive into it because you have to dive into that third and fourth down play. Yeah. It's all anyone's been talking about on Twitter. But again, when you needed a play from Spags, when Spags had to come up with the better defensive game plan or the better defensive play as opposed to what Buffalo's offense and Joe Brady could come up with, Spags won every freaking time. When you needed McDermott to come up with a big key stop, aside from just an incredible play from your middle linebacker there Milano, when he gets the sack on Mahomes, when Mahomes is leaked out. Aside from that play, can you remember another play where that Buffalo defense came up big and made
was able to overcome?
Stop?
No. And that's part of the problem. But that's a perfect place to go here, is that even though the defense couldn't overcome, the offense had their opportunities on both third and fourth down. The spot's a little dicey both times. We'll get into that next year. But first, here's the big kahuna with the Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Buffalo Bills had their chances, had their opportunities to push the ball down the field and keep those things matriculating and keep drives alive, particularly early in the fourth quarter. There's an opportunity. Was it Dalton Kincaid on the catch and being dragged down around the first down marker on third down? And as that play happened, I thought the spot was pretty suspect. I thought he got the first down. But if you want to argue that one and say, is it like an inch short? Fine. I don't care.
Right.
But he got the first down. Josh Allen got the first down on the sneak. Now, you can disagree with running that play and, you know, kind of and leaving it that tight. Mm-hmm. All those things. I get it. But there was, I felt like both those plays, watching them back, when the ref on the near side comes in, he spots it short. The ref on the far side spots it a yard further. It's not like they're off a little bit.
Right.
And I just sat there and went, what the hell is happening here?
Right. Well, and then it leaves it open for the NFL rigged people to be like, see the Chiefs, one guy's long, one guy's short. The guy on the Chiefs sideline is the guy that's short. Of course. I think he got the first down. I'm with you. I think that Josh Allen got the first down. I think that it is a bad play call. You have been stopped at that point two or three times on the quarterback sneak. You don't run the tush push well. It's been clear that Kansas City had figured it out. And again, I talked about this in the first segment, but you had a running back that had 8 yards a carry, or sorry, 8 yards a touch average. Find a way to get him the ball. Or if you're still saying, hey, I want the ball in Josh Allen's hands on this key fourth down, then run an option play. Run a play where it's either him handing it off to Cook or he's pulling it. Do it in a way to where he's the one making the decision, but you're following behind that offensive line. You had proven that you weren't really getting any yardage and it wasn't working for you when you tried to run the football against that defensive front, especially from, when I say run the football, run it from the QB sneak spot. It wasn't working. Don't leave it up to chance. The problem with this Buffalo Bills team is every time in the playoffs, and they're not the only ones, but every time that they play the Chiefs, they leave them opportunities. Whether it's a bad call from a referee or a turnover mistake or them not executing at a high enough level, whatever reason it is, they leave plays up to chance, and then they give the ball back to Kansas City, and Kansas City has an opportunity to take advantage
and
of it.
And they leave no doubt.
And they do it every time. Leave no doubt. You're Josh Allen. You're one of the biggest, strongest quarterbacks when it comes to running the football. You need to get that first down. But at the same time, Joe Brady, you've called that play two or three times before, and they haven't worked. The only time it really worked was when Josh Allen went airborne. Right? So have a better play call. Have a better decision there. I'm always going to be a blame the things that you can control. You cannot control where a ref spots that football. Do I think that Josh Allen got the first down? Yes, I think he did. But you put it in a spot where it's a big pile and you're not going to have a clear look at whether he got the first down or not on replay. And so you're leaving it up to the official to decide where he's at. And once the official decided that he was short, you weren't going to go back and get that changed on replay. You need to come up with a better decision and a better play call in that spot.
There's a lot here, and it always seems to come down to one play here, two play there, because this game was incredibly tight the entire game. Even with the Chiefs, you know, opening up a little bit of a lead early on, it's 21-16 going into half, and you have multiple chances, multiple opportunities. I mean, you stall the Chiefs out to start the second half. Mm-hmm. You go down 12 play, 80 yards. You stall the Chiefs out again. Then that sequence happens where you go 9 plays, 29 yards, but you turn the ball over on downs. And you give the Chiefs the opportunity on a slightly shorter field. It's not egregious. You know, they only got to go 59 yards for a touchdown. But then you respond with another 9 play, 70-yard drive. And a touchdown. But 29-29, the Chiefs do what they do. They don't milk enough of it, but they get a field goal. And you get that chance, you get that opportunity.
Finally, for the first time in this type of game.
And what the hell happens? I don't understand it. I don't understand kind of what was going on here in that. I know that you feel the pressure and you feel the time and you want to put the ball in Josh Allen's hands, but three straight passes, you don't run the ball, you don't look to dictate some things. And again, clock is an issue at this point, but it's not a burning issue. Number one, right. You have two timeouts and you have the 2-minute warning.
Three.
Oh, you're right. When
you
they got the ball back, three. They had three. You're right.
You have all three timeouts.
I don't like Monday morning quarterbacking this, but I am going to. And to your point, I think the Spags-Brady matchup here, I think that they got the Bills to panic and get outside their skin a little bit. And not that Josh Allen isn't capable of making those plays.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those situations where, and I think Josh Allen said it best, to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. And he didn't make any excuses in his postgame. He didn't throw up anything in there that made you go, oh, it's sour grape, it's this, that, or the other. But now we're at a point now. Now we're at a point now. Great radio, Dan. We're at a point now where Josh Allen stands alone on the mountaintop with the most playoff losses without a Super Bowl appearance.
Right.
And I think this is a good little a pivot point of where do the Bills go from here? Before we talk about the Chiefs and where they go in the Super Bowl, we got 2 weeks to do all that. Where do the Bills go from here? That's what coming up next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Well, it happened again. The Bills fall to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game. As I mentioned earlier, Josh Allen is now the losingest quarterback in NFL playoff history without a Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, or winning it. He's got seven without one.
Without one, yes.
And I think basically every single year it's been a loss to Kansas City.
In some form or fashion.
That's brutal, man. I just feel bad for those Buffalo fans. But you would think eventually.
Well, this is the fourth straight year he got eliminated by them, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
But you would think at some point, like, they would make a change in some way, right? Like, it just seems like every year they find a way to get right there. And then they just fall apart.
It's very this will hurt. It's very Blazers-esque when they were in the late 80s, early 90s, and then 2000s. I'd argue the Bills are the second best team in football.
over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Them or Philly. I mean, if Philly wins a title, I might give it to Philly. Yep.
Sure.
But yeah, if you're talking top three, it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Philly, Tampa Bay maybe is in that mix. But the thing with this Buffalo team, and anyone who thinks his seat should be hot, I do think is a bit moronic. But there has to be a deeper look on McDermott right now. Because he's the common denominator. And no offense to McDermott, it's easier to find another McDermott than to find another Josh Allen.
Him and Zach Taylor, I think, are occupying the same space right now. Now, don't get me wrong, the Bills have been more successful than the Bengals.
100%.
But what did the Bengals just do? Did they just swap out their longtime defensive coordinator in Lou Anarumo?
Yeah, a guy that 2 years ago people were talking about as being a head coach option.
Yeah, and being a guy like who was very much revered and highly sought after in the same way that Spagnuolo is. Like,
right.
I think that's how quickly things can change in the game. And there's always this desire and need to place blame, because when you fall short, and it doesn't mean your season's a failure, but I do think if you're the Bills, you probably do view this season as a failure, because the difference between there's two losing teams in this championship series, and we'll talk about the other one here in a minute. Did you see the Commanders after the game that their owners were waiting as every player and coach came off the field and shook their hand?
Yes. Well,
but I'm saying that because it's about expectation.
Yes.
That's the thing, is like, The Commander season is not a failure. It is an overwhelming success.
100%.
Because they're building up.
And you weren't supposed to be there. What the Commanders had this year was, best case scenario, you had thought 2 or 3 years from now.
Sure.
And I think Baltimore is going through this same thing. There are teams every year where, no offense to their regular season records, none of it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If the Eagles lose to the Commanders, it's a disappointing season.
Oh, God, yes.
The Commanders losing to the Eagles,
and Nick Sirianni's getting fired.
Right.
And Jalen Hurts is under the microscope. And Saquon Barkley, was it all worth it? It's like, whoa, it's a big time
100%.
Overhaul.
100%. Buffalo, I think, falls into this category with the Eagles. I think that Baltimore falls into this category. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs obviously fall into that category. I think there's an argument, possibly the Texans, if not this year,
well,
then maybe
did.
Next year.
I mean, they fire their offensive coordinator, Slowick, and they fire their president.
Right, and Slowick was a guy who was a guy last year
who everyone's praises were being sung about.
And people were shocked that he wasn't a head coach, right? But I think the most telling thing, and obviously it's the most talked about play, it's the fourth down call, right? And you have this guy in Joe Brady that's doing all these other interviews to be a head coach.
And he shut those down. He's going to stay now, remember?
Right.
He's coming back, and he's going to stay with the Bills.
But remember, in the divisional week, in the wild card week, you had Josh Allen and you had McDermott, and they were coming out and saying, I hope no one takes him. Or, hey, don't come over here and interview him because he's ours. This is our guy. And he's the one who's supposed to make the big change. Daboll couldn't make the change when he was the OC. Dorsey couldn't make the change when he was the OC. Mm-hmm. But Joe Brady, he's completely changed this offense. It went from a rely on the deep ball and just be okay with some of the risks that it entails, being okay losing the turnover battle, to this offense where you ask
control.
You know, you ask Josh Allen to still make the good plays, but understand that he has more help in the run game, and he has. But when you get to this big fourth down play, you are going up against a Spagnuolo defense that, when it's third or fourth down, he likes to draw up pressure. And he likes to draw up pressure from the boundary, specifically when you're going against a condensed formation. This is a condensed formation because all of your receivers are inside of the numbers. The reason you want to bring a corner fire in a condensed formation is because it's easier to hide. Mm-hmm. You can hide the safety where he only has to play on the hash, so it looks like a normal cover two defense.
Because you're tucked in below the slot.
Exactly. As opposed to having a wide receiver outside the numbers where the safety has to get more over that wide receiver, showing that, hey, there's probably some sort of blitz coming from this corner. You are in a condensed formation, and then, of all things, you slide to the field, right? What I think here with Joe Brady, you think you have taken that next step, and Brady has a great call against a man blitz from Spags, something that Spags does notorious.
Mm-hmm.
In this moment, though, Spag goes, I'm going to stick with one tendency but break another.
Yep.
And he brings a blitz, but he calls a zone behind it.
Yep.
And you run a man blitz beater play. And that's why guys aren't open right away. And you can make the argument beforehand, hey, Josh should have been able to see, hey, it's even numbers to my left side. It's 3-on-3 with, four-on-four with four wide receivers, four DBs. But there's three DBs to the other side and only one wide receiver. That should tip him off. Hey, there's going to be a blitz. We need to adjust where we're sliding. We need to slide the other way to the boundary as a opposed to the field. Those are arguments that can be made. But when those decisions didn't get done pre-snap, Spags had won. And Josh Allen made an incredible play to make two guys who are right in his face right away miss and still chuck up a prayer to where you have a tight end that has an opportunity to catch the
a
ball.
A good tight end who you... Again, right. I'm not killing Dalton Kincaid for not making that catch.
No, it's but, not a drop. It's not
it,
a drop.
But it's a play he should make.
It's a play you want him to make. And it's an incredible play by Josh Allen to get to a spot where it's a play you could make. But at the end of the day... If you don't have a top three QB in the league that can make that throw,
which again, he gets sacked. It's an insane play.
He gets sacked before he even gets to throw that football, and that's because Spags beat Brady.
No.
That's because Spags beat Brady.
Can I say one thing? And this is a little bit of an aside from this discussion here, but Joe Brady has had some discussion as being, you know, involved in perhaps a job at somewhere else, and this is something that has come up both in these NFL playoffs and in the college football playoffs. I feel like, and because there's a point has also been made that college that or coaches that are perhaps interviewing or getting ready to interview for another job, that when that happens.
Their focus isn't fully on the game.
Yes, and it comes across in the performance of their team or their squad or their part of it. Is it time for, in both perhaps the NFL and college football, to say, hey, look, you know what? Let's just wait until the entire damn season is over before you guys go start hiring people and interviewing people so these kinds of things don't happen?
To take
because
that out,
it's taking
probably...
away, because it seems like it does take away from the product on the field, which I guarantee you neither the NFL nor the NCAA or the college football playoff, they don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right. Now, Brady has also said that, you know, he shut down the interviews, was it last week?
Yeah, I think he called it off in the middle of last week.
Yeah, so
look at Ben Johnson, how successful the Lions offense was.
100%.
And then when they get eliminated...
Yeah, no, I think that's certainly up for consideration. It's probably something that should be at least up for debate, but...
I don't know how you police it.
Yeah, like, because they can still find a way.
Right, because you're right. In a perfect world...
I don't know how you police it, but you can still try to put some guardrails in place.
Right, because in a perfect world, you're correct. Like, that would be so much better for the sport, specifically in college. Yeah. Because in college, I mean, look at the Beavers. Look at Jonathan Smith and the Beavers. They are marching to one of the better seasons that they've ever had, and all of a sudden, everything takes a dump, and you're like, what happened? Why'd they take a dump? Oh, he's out. And everybody knew he was out. But I think it would be similar to the no tampering rules. How do you enforce them? Because if it's not a coach, well, then maybe it's a player. Maybe it's agents talking to agents. Like it. I think in a perfect world, yes, you're 100% correct. I just don't know how you would be able to perfectly enforce it.
Right. But that's where you try to figure out too, because I feel like the worst thing to do is to try to say, oh, there's nothing we can do about it and throw your hands up in the air.
Fair. No, 100% fair. I don't disagree with you. I think at some point in time, maybe there comes up with a better solution. Like, I know right now, if a coach is in the playoffs, you can only Zoom interview them. So maybe there's a way to limit that. Then there comes into this debate, though, like if you make those teams that fire their coaches wait, how much further behind the eight ball are they going to be when it comes to like the draft process?
Well, but if everybody is playing by the same rules, you know what I mean? Yeah. And everybody has to wait till a certain point, you're all playing by the same rules. It's like when we say we get to playoff football in the NFL and it's a cold field, it's a cold game, it's a snow game. Both teams are playing under the same conditions.
Right.
Sure.
You know?
No, I'm with
one
you.
One might be better prepared for it than the other if it's a Chiefs versus Dolphins or something.
Right.
You know? Right. But I'd feel like it seems, I'm not going to call it dirty pool, but I just feel like that there are certain guardrails and enforcements and rules that you can try to make to try to prevent these things that derail what is otherwise a very successful season for teams that have earned it and their shot at the playoffs.
That's the thing is I just don't know how much impact it does or doesn't have. And maybe that's all the reason why it should have all that to it.
It's a case-by-case basis is what I would say. Some people handle it much better than others, and I think that is,
that is clear. And I mean, that might be the biggest argument for why you should.
Look at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Look at their defense. Now, to be fair, that happened way, way later in the game. It wasn't like Knowles was talking with Penn State, in the middle of the playoffs. But I think it's a case-by-case basis. Some people handle it better than others.
So, all right, let's pivot to the other game. An absolute epic shellacking where the Philadelphia Eagles left footprints on Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. Here in hour number two on Danny Dussey, 1080 The Fan.